This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Tech Talk and I'm Jeff Sandhu. I'm here with Uma Pagan, Ampike Pagan, and today we are doing a review of the unreleased version of Nexus 5. This is unreleased because it's not been launched in Malaysia yet. We have no idea when it will be launched. But thanks to you, Uma, you managed to get not one but two units.
That's right.
From our neighbours in Singapore.
Well, actually, I don't think it's officially been launched in Singapore either.
Exactly.
So it's been launched in the US, the UK, I think, and then there's a there's a European/Australian version, right? Because the US version, it's important to note, if you buy that online, there's no LTE support in Malaysia. It's the different bands.
Yeah, hence it's slightly cheaper. I think it's about 300 ringgit cheaper if you get the US model. But we have here is the international model. So there's LTE and it's hardware. Let's talk about hardware first. This phone looks really, really sexy.
It's nice. It's thin. It's okay. It's important to note, it's not special.
Yes.
In any way, right? It's very understated. They're following the Nexus 7 model. There's a big Nexus in the back. Bomb, Nexus, right in the back. There's the camera that's slightly protruding out of the back, and it's this what would you call it? Like a soft, it's not leather, but a soft plastic.
And it's very fingerprint
prone.
Yeah, but it's actually quite. It feels very nice. However, like you said, I think hardware wise, from a distance, you will be mistaken whether it's a Nexus 4 or the Nexus 5 because it kind of looks the same. However, they've the screen size. It's big, but it still feels small in your hands because they've sort of utilized the whole, the bezel at the end and the black edges and all.
That's right. There's very minimal bezel. Mm. But of course, the screen is a 4.95-inch 1920 by 1080 display at 445 PPI. So it's super high-resolution screen, beautiful screen.
What about speeds, though?
Okay, so I can give you all the tech specs, but the question, Jeff, is does it really matter? I mean, have you noticed any speed difference? I mean, so when you do, when they do benchmarks, right? So Anantech does benchmarks. Yeah. He's probably the go-to guy with regards to benchmarks because he tests phones and tablets like no one else, right? Now, I think the iPhone 5S currently leads the pack with regards to speed. But unless your apps are really optimized for that new quad, Octa, whatever 16-core processors they're soon going to stuff into phones, right? Mm. I mean, as an everyday consumer, you're not going to notice the difference. Now, in the Nexus 5, it's a Snapdragon 800 2.26 gigahertz processor. And, you know, whatever that may mean to you as a consumer. but from a purely user perspective, it's great. It's super snappy. It doesn't lag. Apps boot up really quickly. Games, the whatever games which I've bought for the Android platform and play on the Android platform are really snappy. In all honesty, I don't really play 3D intensive games on my phone, so I don't have any one of those massive RPGs or action games or shoot 'em ups that use 3D. I play a lot of Angry Birds, a lot of word games, a lot of games like that, right?
Well, I play a game called Rail Racing 3, and that's like about 1.6 gigs of worth of download, and that still runs pretty fine. It's no lag, there's no frame drops, and also it's okay for me.
So for me, when it comes to speeds and processors, the only time to actually really talk about it is if you're using a particularly low-end phone and it's just been released and you notice a significant lag. Because when it comes to the S4, when it comes to the HTC One or the One Max or the Butterfly S or whatever, I find that Android works nice, like KitKat even more so because it's been written to utilize.
Yes.
So KitKat, sorry, the new operating system.
So let's talk about KitKat. It's Android 4.4. Just released 4.4.2, which is an update to the camera, which we'll get to later on. But let's talk about Android 4.4. What is it supposed to do?
So the general theory behind Android 4.4 is that it's very low end with regards to consumer-level update. Well, consumer-level front-facing updates, right? It's not like a big iOS 6 to iOS 7 leap. There's not many graphical tweaks and so on and so forth. There are minor ones, but nothing major. You're going to feel familiar with it. It's going to feel like Android. However, everything is under the hood. And under the hood, it's got, low memory usage, low processor usage. And the whole idea was behind it, I guess, was Google going, you know what? People keep complaining about fragmentation, and let's address something about fragmentation. And so let's make an OS and strip it down a little bit, keeping all the features, but the back end, make it work on every possible phone. And if I'm not mistaken, I read an article that said that KitKat even works on the Nexus One.
Wow.
So I'm not sure if that's true. Mm. I read something on the internet. It's worth checking up. But I think that's the idea.
So KitKat, Android 4.4.2 was released like just a couple of hours ago. And it was meant to update on the camera. Because
for the Nexus 5.
For the Nexus 5. This is because originally, Android 4.4.1 or 4.4.0, with the Nexus 5, it has an 8-megapixel camera. So on paper, it should be a decent enough camera. But there were some issues. There were issues with focusing. There was a massive issue of it cannot focus during low lights. I've tried trying to take pictures during urban scapes and all. It was so bad. It was very grainy. It felt very washed out. But what I'm impressed with, within 5 weeks of launching the Nexus 5 in the States, Google have addressed this issue and came out with a release that has significantly improved the camera. And now you're sort of on the verge of saying, like, would you recommend this phone to a buyer who's looking to buy an Android phone?
I like this phone a lot. The camera issues aside, when I first got the phone, same problem you had, the camera was absolutely appalling.
Hmm. You had to use a lot of editing just to get a decent enough picture.
Well, you had to hold perfectly still and get your friend to hold perfectly still before you could take a photo which didn't have motion blur.
Yeah.
Because you would focus, and then when you click, the camera would try and focus again. Yeah. And then it would slow down, and then everyone ended up being blurry. and that was one of the biggest problems. That's in a regular light, not even low light, right? Mm. So the camera was absolutely appalling, and I think, but I still think it was a very strong phone, because I made this very clear on previous episodes. I love Google Pure, the fact that it's untouched by skins and so on and so forth. I think it's very, very cool. KitKat, one of the other features is Google is throughout the phone, so you can just go, okay, Google, and speak to it at any time. They've integrated the search feature and Google Now into every possible aspect of it. So it's really, really taking over your life. Mm. But but what's cool is with this update on the camera, it's made it the camera good and usable. It's still not up to par with the iPhone 5S or even the
Samsung
S4 camera
S4
is very good.
Yeah.
It's not up to par with that. But I do think at, $349, this is the best Android phone you could buy. At $349, it's great. Mm. Now, that being said, there are issues. And you and I haven't experienced these issues. I see these issues seem to be coming out. If you look on the forums, they seem to be primarily with the US release of this phone. And there are issues with the radio. Mm. So a lot of people, including our friend Joe, Joe Hinden Sen, who you all know, he's reviewed lots of phones with us on this show in the past, has had massive problems with the radio and signal and crashing because of it. So he may have gotten a lemon. I think he's looking to replace the phone. But if you go on the forums, a lot of people in the US seem to have similar problems. Mm.
We'll get into some of the problems that I'm facing with the phone at the moment. I'm speaking to Uma Pagan, MPK Pagan, and we're doing a review of the LG Google Nexus 5. We'll be right back, BFM 89.9. Jeff Sandhu here, and with me, of course, is Uma Pagan, MPK Pagan, and we are doing the review of the Google Nexus 5. And early on, we spoke about the hardware, and we really love the phone, and I think this is probably the best Android phone that you can buy in the market for that kind of price as well.
$349.
Exactly. That makes up to about 1,300 ringgit or 1,400 ringgit without any contract. So if it does release here in Malaysia, you would expect to get it like about 800 ringgit or 900 ringgit off with a 1 year contract or so.
That's right.
But we're not sure yet what's the pricing like. Let's move on to some of the issues that I'm facing with the phone. Now, before we went to the break, we were talking about the radio reception quality of the phone. For the US model, what we are using is actually the international model. However, I actually do have that problem with connection. It's trying to reconnect again whenever I'm in a place where there's no 3G or no data connection. For example, the parking.
I have that same problem. Mm.
It takes a long time. For example, when I go down to B3 of the BFM's office, there's no reception. Whatever phone that I use, there's just no data connection. But as soon as I reach to B1, my phone, whatever phone that I used to use, even my BlackBerry, will straight away give me an edge signal or even 3G at times. However, the Nexus 5 takes a slightly longer time. And Actually, it's not slightly. It's quite a long time.
So I have this problem when I step into elevators as well. So when I step out of the elevator, it takes about 5 to 7 minutes sometimes to re-establish connection.
And that's a long, long time.
So I don't know if that's a chipset issue or whether that's a firmware problem, a software problem that can be addressed with software. Maybe it's not searching for networks quickly enough. Potentially, it registers onto a network and then it doesn't research very quickly. So
probably
you never
trying
know.
To save battery.
Probably trying to save battery. So I'm not sure why that happens, but you're right. I have that exact same problem. Now, it's important to note that at 349, there are significant, I guess, manufacturing issues when it comes to things like this. And I think that's why some people in the US are having radio chipset problems. And production quality does get affected because you're making it for a lot cheaper. Mm. It's not like LG is taking a loss on this phone. Yep. So it means that they're just, they must be skimping around corners somewhere. Mm. For example, when my phone, brand new, out of the box, the SIM card tray is not flush with the phone. So it goes in,
outside,
but it protrudes just a little bit, which is annoying, which is really annoying for me when I'm a bit OCD when it comes to things like this. So those kind of manufacturing issues are there. Mm. But it's not a deal breaker for me because at the back of my mind, it's like, you know, it's like traveling AirAsia. Yeah. At the back of my mind, I'm like, I'm only paying this much. Okay, I can't complain so much.
Well, there are also probably issues with the Bluetooth because I'm also reviewing the Jabra Wireless Revo headset, which is a headphones.
That's right. That's the new funky-looking Bluetooth
headset. So I've got one
headset.
White-color NFC-enabled Bluetooth headset.
Which is kind of cool. You just tap it and it connects to your phone.
Yeah. So with the Nexus 5, it's great because there's NFC, there's wireless charging, so you can do all that kind of stuff. However, I've been having some issues because I previously used it with the HTC Butterfly S. And using my headphones, the Jabra Revo wireless headphones, it sounded great. And there was no issues with, you know, if I open a YouTube on my browser and I listen to the songs, it sounded really good. If I open Spotify and all that. However, when I switched it on to the Nexus 5, there were some connectivity issues with the Bluetooth. It seems to drop a lot more often than what I had with the Butterfly S. I'm not sure what is it because they're using a different kind of Bluetooth chipset inside, or
whether it's a software issue.
Whether it's a software issue again, you know, it probably. I'm guessing it is a software issue. It's just that the phone has been optimized to utilize memory as much, you know, as best as it can, try to save battery and all. So it's not refreshing as much as you would like to, which will sacrifice battery power.
So let's talk about that for a second before we go back to wireless headsets. Battery life, how's yours doing?
Right, so I took off my phone from the power supply at about 8 a.m. It's now, 12:20 p.m. And I got to charge it again. It's about, let me see. It's about 46%.
Wow. Okay. That's about par with even the Nexus 4. The Nexus 4 had a very terrible battery life, you know, by noon.
Yeah,
you need to plug it in.
Yeah,
that's one of the big deal breakers, if anything. But if you're a kind of person that carries around a wireless plug-in charger, like most people who have smartphones these days do, regardless of what smartphone you have, or if you're in the office or in the car and you're constantly plugging and unplugging your phone, then it's fine. You know, you're not going to notice that. But if you go on a holiday, if you are out in meetings all day, your phone's going to die on you by about 5 p.m. That's what I found with the Nexus 5.
I've got a charger everywhere I go. At home, in the office, in the car. I've even got like two external batteries. And I use them a lot more often now with the Nexus 5.
Right. And so just on that point, though, I think the problem is that if you're a power user, and just to come back to power users and Nexus phones in general, Nexus phones are great phones for, I guess, everyday consumers who want to come into the Android ecosystem. And you know, just even not just everyday consumers, but even the borderline power, the prosumers, if you will. But it's not for the power users. It's not for the guys who need the HTC One Boom sound because they listen to podcasts all the time because the sound of that thing is really good and you don't want to put on headphones. Or it's not for the S4 users who...
Speakers are really bad on this phone, by the way.
Speakers are very bad on this phone. You need headphones. But it's not for the S4 users who want that speed, the quad core, et cetera, et cetera, right? It's still a great phone. It's just not targeting that market. And I don't think it... I don't think it needs to.
Yeah, it needs to. With that price, no.
No, yeah. And I think this is where Google has it right, and LG has it right, or the partnership with LG has it right, in the sense that the Nexus is that slow evolution of what Google would like their ultimate Android phone to look like. It's never top of it's never been the top of the line specs, best camera, best processor, etc., etc. It's just Google saying, "Hey, look, on this platform with these tech specs, KitKat will run perfectly." Okay, there are a couple of bugs, but that's the general idea. That's the vision, and I think they're going in the right direction. If they continue at this rate, the Nexus 6 and 7 could be really, really, really good phones, right? So it's a slow evolution.
Yeah, the Nexus was never meant, like you said, to be a top-end phone. And a lot of people were suspecting when they bought over Motorola, they would do that. However, they didn't, because they just launched the Motorola G, which is the it's a low-end phone.
I haven't played with it. It's been getting some rave reviews with the caveat of being a cheap phone.
Yeah, it's probably the best cheap phone you could buy.
But the Moto X, very sadly, got some really good reviews, but has only sold 500,000 units so far, which is kind of depressing.
And it's only sold in the States.
I think you can get it in the UK, but no one's buying that phone.
Let's just move on, just very quickly. You know, I've been reviewing wireless headphones.
Yes.
Now, you've obviously reviewed some wireless headphones in your life before. You've done the Beats.
I've done the Beats. I've done Sony's Bluetooth. Those the world's smallest wireless headphones. You know, they're like the in-ear headphones.
Are those the ones that waterproof or something?
No, mine aren't waterproof. I haven't tried that. No, I probably shouldn't. Also, Sennheiser's Bluetooth headphones as well, which I do like. But in general, I try not to use many wireless headphones because they suck up battery life. However, with Bluetooth low energy implementation, that should change.
Yeah, because on my experience with the Nexus 5 and my Revo wireless headphones, I normally get at about, my battery life on the phone will last me about 5 to 6 hours without the headphones. With the headphones, it probably is about the same. I just lose about 10% more, even though the headphones are turned on all the time. One thing that I really do like is actually just the ease of, there's no wires. Like, you can just walk around and feel you're free. You're completely free. Especially if you're traveling and you're sitting in an AirAsia plane, which is really tight and really cramped, and your phone is in your pocket and you can't, like, switch. You can't make it louder. You can't make it softer. You can't switch to the next song. The Jabra Revo, they've got like this touch sensitive controls at the side of your right ear, so you can actually like skip songs forward and backwards and pause and make it louder and softer. It sounds actually much better if you plug it in using the wire.
So the Jabras actually give you the option for a wired plug-in.
Yes,
that's very important. So yeah, I got to make that point. Very important when buying wireless headphones, buy something which gives you the option. So the Sennheisers do that. They have an option that lets you plug in.
Yeah.
They also are noise cancelling, so they give you an option to use in a plane. Very, very useful, because when your battery runs out on your headphones, you want to be able to continue listening to music or watching your movies, right? So always buy something with a wired option.
Yeah. And also the good thing about that is they actually give you this tangle-free wire that they have.
You can crunch it up.
You can crunch it up.
It's like flat, right?
Yeah.
So
it will never be tangled up. And that's actually really good, because I've actually had a couple of experiences where the battery just died. And then all you have to do is just plug it in and listen to your headphones. I would actually really recommend it. It's about 1,200 ringgit, which is, again, the same price as the smartphone, as the Nexus 5 smartphone. And that's the problem with Bluetooth headsets. They actually do cost a lot. I think the cheapest you could get is about 800 or so.
It's about 700 to 800 ringgit, which is still a lot.
It's still a lot for headphones. But if you're looking for a pair of headphones, then maybe you should try go and look up for the Jabra Revo wireless headphones. What about, let's go back to the Nexus 5 ratings. 1 out of 5, 5 being the best, 1 being the lowest. What would you give it?
I would give it a very solid 3.5.
I would actually give it the same as well.
Yeah, 3.5, and only because for two things. The manufacturing inconsistencies are a bit annoying. The screen is beautiful. That's one of the big boons of this phone. Color is nice and pretty and all of that stuff. But the manufacturing inconsistencies and the camera, even though the software has fixed the camera,
It's still a long way to go.
It's still a long way off, especially when compared to, say, the 5S or even the Samsung. That's already a year old, right? Almost a year old S4, and that camera still outperforms this. And so many people, so many people buy the phone for the camera that it's almost a deal breaker for people.
Yeah.
Where they're like, how good is the camera? If the camera's rubbish, I'm not buying the phone because I've left all my other cameras in the drawer. This is the only thing I carry around with me. So I think cameras are incredibly important on phones these days.
Yeah. Who would you recommend this phone for?
Actually, anyone who wants to get into the Android ecosystem, if there's still anyone who listens to Tech Talk that isn't a smartphone user, this is the best way to jump on board.
Yep.
Right? Yep. It's also being skin-free in the sense that you don't have to put up with the extra weight of HTC Sense or Samsung's Samsung S Touch Swizz, whatever they call it, makes it easier for people like my mom and dad to get into it. Because it's a lot more straightforward. So even if you have a parent that wants to jump on board, if you're not going to buy them an iPhone, if you don't want iOS, go the Nexus route, man. It's simple, it's fast, it works. Yeah.
Let's hope it launches here in Malaysia very soon. Before Christmas, hopefully.
That's only 2 weeks, my friend.
Yeah.
Okay. And we still haven't heard anything.
No news at all. All right, 3.5 out of 5 for the Nexus 5. And this is Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.